Hey everyone, it's the host with the most, Fumi Lola, aka Fumi Pepe. Welcome back to the podcast, and in today's episode we're going to be talking about how the Yoruba people believe the world was created. Basically the Yoruba creation story. If that interests you, you should stick around, and yes, let's get into this.
Let's get this.
In the beginning of time, the universe comprised of two kingdoms: the sky above, which was ruled by Olorun, the most powerful and the supreme being who sat above all other gods, and the other kingdom, which was the endless waters below, was ruled by the goddess Olokun. Olokun was content with her kingdom, even though it was void of life or vegetation or anything at all. One fateful day, Obatala, a young god, looked down from the skies with dissatisfaction and said to himself, "How could there just be this vast body of water with nothing interesting in it? There is no land, no vegetation, nothing. That is just boring." And thought to himself that something needed to change. So he then decided to go have a conversation with Olorun to seek permission to do something about it. When he met with Olorun, he said, "Oluwami, ruler of the skies, the supreme being, the great one, that if Olorun notices that he rules over the heavens, and that the heavens is filled with other gods, beautiful lands, houses, trees, valleys, lakes, and that it's so beautiful, whereas Olokun's kingdom is just void, filled with waters and marshes, wouldn't it be nice if there was vegetation, valleys, mountains, all these things that we have here in the skies should be in Olokun's kingdom?" Olorun replied, saying, "Obatala, you make a very good point. But I mean, solid land and mountains, trees, valleys, all these things you ask for, who would create them? It would require tremendous efforts." "With your permission, I will," Obatala replied. "I will create solid land, I will create the valleys, and I will create animals, creatures, all whom could worship the goddess Olokun." Olorun replied, "Obatala, you know I love you as a son, so it's my pleasure to grant you this. Go and do as you wish." After the conversation with Olorun, Obatala was excited. He said to himself, "Finally, I get to realize this dream of mine." But he then quickly remembered that he had no idea or knowledge on how to go about creating the things he sought to create. But he quickly remembered that if there is one person that would know how to, it would be Orunmila, the oldest son of Olorun, who had the gift of prophecy. Orunmila, after all, could see the future and would definitely know how to go about this, Obatala said to himself as he set out for Orunmila's house. When Obatala got to Orunmila's house, he said, "Obatala, I spoke to your father and he gave me permission to create solid land in the waters that fill Olokun's kingdom. But I do not know how to go about this. I do not have the knowledge on how to create land and fill it with living beings who will be able to raise crops, build villages, and populate the place. Please help me." Orunmila replied, "Obatala, for this quest you would want to embark on, you would need a few things. Firstly, you must get a gold chain long enough to reach the waters below from the sky. Secondly, you must then fill a snail shell with sand. Thirdly, you would need a white hen and a black cat. And lastly, a palm nut, all of which you must place in a bag and carry them down with you when you climb down to the waters. This is my advice to you. Thank you very much, Orumila. Obatala replied, I would definitely get a goldsmith and begin gathering all these items at once. Obatala set out to find a goldsmith that would make this long chain. He finally found one, but the goldsmith said, I have no problem making this long chain for you. The only problem is that you would need to bring me a large amount of gold, and I do not think there is that much gold here in the skies. Maybe if you ask each of the other gods to give you the gold in their possession, I wish you well. Obatala approached each of the gods one at a time, telling them of his plan to create solid land where there is nothing but water and swamp. He told them how he would create plants and living creatures to fill this land, and living beings who would build houses, villages, and fill this great land. All I ask of you in return is gold. Will you contribute whatever gold you possess? The gods felt pity towards Obatala and gave all the gold they had in their possession. Obatala gathered all this and went back to the goldsmith. Upon seeing this, the goldsmith was surprised that, wow, you did well, but that even this might not be enough to create the desired length you want. Obatala replied that,
you playing? What type of playing is this? This is playing?
This is the best that I can do. And whatever this would make, I would take.
Nice rhymes.
When the gold chain was ready, Obatala collected it. He had also gathered the white hen, a black cat, and a palm nut, alongside a snail shell filled with sand. Orumila followed Obatala and helped him hook one end of the chain to the edge of the sky and then lowered the rest of it towards the water. Orumila gave Obatala the snail shell filled with sand, the white hen, the black cat, and the palm nut. And one by one, Orumila put them in a special bag and slung it over his shoulder. Before he began to descend down, he bid Orumila farewell. Obatala then started to descend towards the waters. And when he was halfway down, he noticed that he was leaving the skies filled with light to the kingdom down below filled with waters and darkness. He then proceeded downwards. And as he reached the end of the chain, he saw the mighty body of water down below, moving violently. The body of water was as vast as his eyes could see. He then thought to himself, I cannot jump down from here. The distance is great and I will drown. While being worried, Orumila shouted from the sky above, Obatala, use the sand in your snail shell. Obatala then proceeded to pour out the sand from the snail shell down into the water. Again, Orumila shouted, release the white hen. Obatala then proceeded to drop the white hen on the heap of sand that he poured into the water. When the hen dropped on the sandy waters, it immediately began to scatter the sand by scratching its feet at it. Wherever the sand fell, it formed dry land. The larger piles of sand became hills and mountains, while the smaller piles became valleys. Obatala let go of the chain and jumped down to the solid ground. He named the place where he landed Ilenfe, which means expanding land. This place still stands today and is regarded as the homeland of the Yoruba people. It is known as Ile Ife. He walked around the solid land. The solid land was then expanding in all directions as far as his eyes could see, but it was completely devoid of life. But this was just the beginning. Obatala then began to walk. He dug a hole and buried the palm nut he brought from the skies. this sprang forth into a palm tree, and the nuts from the palm tree dropped and sprung into another tree. And this process repeated until the lands were filled with trees. Obatala built himself a house and then settled down in Ile-Ife with his black cat for company. Olorun, the ruler of the skies, was curious to see how far Obatala had gone with his plans. He sent his servant, the chameleon, down to go and check on what Obatala was doing. The chameleon climbed down the gold chain, and when he got to the ground, the chameleon asked Obatala what was going on. Obatala told the chameleon that tell Olorun that I have created dry land. I have created the trees, I have created valleys, I have created mountains. But I miss the light and the brightness of the sky. This place is just filled with darkness. The chameleon went back to Olorun and relayed the message. Olorun smiled and said, "For you, Obatala, I will create the sun." Olorun then tossed the sun into the sky and he shed his light and warmth upon Ile-Ife. Several months later, with only his black cat for companionship, Obatala had been living in Ile-Ife. But he then said to himself, "I am lonely as I only have this black cat for companionship. I would create more creatures that look like me to keep me company." And he then proceeded to work. Obatala began to dig the soil, and he noticed that as he was digging the soil, they held together in his hands as what he dug up happened to be clay. Then from this clay, Obatala began to mold little figures just like himself. He molded their arms, their heads, their legs, and one by one, he set them aside. Obatala worked day in, day and night, non-stop, not taking a break for anything. He did not even notice how tired or thirsty he was. When he finally got overwhelmed and the fatigue hit him, he decided to take a break. During this break, he decided to relax with palm wine he got from the palm trees. Because of he was thirsty, Obatala kept drinking cup after cup after cup after cup of palm wine, and he did not even realize that he was drunk. After his break, Obatala went back to molding. And because he was obviously drunk, he did not realize that he was making mistakes now in the figures that he was molding. Some of the arms of the figures were too long, some were short, some without arms, and so on and so forth. Obatala continued molding these figures until he was finally satisfied with the numbers he had. He then moved the figures to a special room and looked upon the skies and said, "Olorun, you are like a father to me. I have created these figures out of clay, but you alone are the one that can breathe life into them. Please do this for me, as I need companionship in Ile-Ife." Olorun granted Obatala his wish and breathed life into the figures, and these figures became active thinking human beings. When they saw Obatala's house, they decided to build houses around it, thereby creating the first village. Shortly after, Obatala noticed that some of the figures he created had imperfections, and that's when it hit him that he had been drunk when he molded these humans. With a heart filled with sadness, he said,
"What have I done with myself? What have I done with myself since the morning? How could you make such a mistake?"
And promised that he would never drink palm wine again, and that he would devote himself to protecting those that were deformed as a result of him molding them while being drunk. Thus, Obatala became the protector of all those that were born deformed. Obatala remained with the people in the village, and the village prospered. The people of the village farmed grains and yam. After a while, Obatala got tired of staying on earth and decided to climb back the golden chain and return to the skies. When he got to the sky, Obatala told stories to the other gods of how life was down below. He told them that they had beautiful land with valleys and hills. He told them about his creatures, the humans, and how loving they are and how much they admired and worshipped him. The other gods, filled with curiosity, decided to leave their homes in the sky to come down and live with humans on earth. When Olorun heard of this, he told them, "When you go down, you would all have obligations to protect and guide these humans." He gave each of the gods specific roles and things that they should do for the humans while living there. Not every god was however pleased with Obatala's creation. The goddess Olokun, for one, was not happy that she was not consulted when Obatala decided to create the earth and life on it in her kingdom. She was very unhappy that one of the gods from the sky had taken a large part of her kingdom for himself and built a village that had now grown to a large city in her kingdom and received no praise or acknowledgement for this. She was very angry and devised a plan on how to exert her revenge on Obatala. She waited until he returned back to the skies before sending mighty waves of water to destroy the city and flood the dry land that Obatala had created. The inhabitants of the city cried out, "Obatala, Obatala, save us!" But Obatala could not hear their cries over the sound of the water. The few remaining humans that ran to the mountains asked the god Eshu, who was one of the gods living amongst them, for help. They said, "Please, Eshu, return back to the kingdom of the sky. Please, tell Obatala that a mighty flood is destroying us. If you want me to deliver this message, you must send a sacrifice along with me." The people then sacrificed a goat to Obatala and said, "We send this goat as food for Obatala." Eshu replied that, "Don't I also deserve a gift?" When the people heard this, they acted accordingly and also sacrificed to Eshu. Eshu then climbed the gold chain and told Obatala what was going on, of how Olokun had flooded the earth and destroyed the city that he created. Obatala was confused as he did not know how best to handle the Olokun situation. So he turned to Orumila for help. Orumila told him that, "Let me go down and resolve the issue. Do not worry, stay here and wait for me." So, Orumila went down, and with his special knowledge, he was able to calm the waters down and restore peace back onto the land. The people that saw what Orumila did looked up onto him as a hero and pleaded that he stayed with them in case Olokun decided to attack again. Unfortunately, Orumila had no intention of staying in Ife, but he agreed to stay with the people long enough to be able to teach them how to survive and also to teach them how they could tell the future. That way they could control their destiny. When Orumila had done so and had taught the people how they could survive, he returned back to the sky. But also like Obatala, occasionally he comes down to stay with the people, shuffling back and forth between the heavens and the earth. At this point, the goddess Olokun thought to herself that, "Wow, it seems like the gods of the sky are far superior to me." She felt threatened and then decided to challenge Olorun to a weaving challenge. That way, she can prove that she's an equal to the ruler of the sky. The goddess Olokun happened to be an excellent weaver of cloth, and she possessed even a greater skill in dyeing the fabric she weaved. Olorun said to himself, "Olokun is indeed a superior weaver than he is, but that he cannot let her know this, and he cannot give her the satisfaction of knowing this, as she might exert her powers in ways that cannot be imagined, and this can cause chaos in the universe." After pondering and pondering, Olorun's eyes suddenly sparkled, and with a smile, he summoned his messenger, the chameleon. Olorun said to the chameleon, "Go before Olokun, the ruler of the sea, and tell her that the ruler of the sky greets the ruler of the sea and asks you to display to his messenger samples of your cloth that you have woven. Let the chameleon judge your skill. If your cloth is as beautiful as you say, then the ruler of the sky will compete with you in the contest that you have suggested. The chameleon climbed down the golden chain and relayed it to Olokun. Olokun was happy and obliged to Olorun's request. She brought a bright green skirt that she had weaved, and to her amazement, the chameleon turned into a beautiful shade of green. She said, "Ah, how?" She quickly grabbed a bright orange skirt, and again, the chameleon changed to match the color of the skirt. She began wondering what was going on. She then brought another skirt, this time a bright red, beautiful skirt. And again, to her amazement, the chameleon matched the color. One by one, the goddess Olokun put on various skirts with various colors, and each time, the chameleon matched it. And then she thought to herself,
"This is nothing but a man joke. It can't be possible."
After which she gave up. She said, "If someone as ordinary as Olorun's messenger can duplicate the bright colors of my finest skirts, how possibly can I compete against the greatest of the gods?" Olokun said to the chameleon, "Go up to your master and tell your master that the ruler of the sea sends her greetings to the ruler of the sky. Tell Olorun that I acknowledge his greatness and his superiority in weaving and in every aspect. Olorun is indeed the greatest of the gods." So it came to pass that after this, peace returned between the kingdom of the sky and the kingdom of the sea, and order and peace was restored back to the universe. The end. So yeah, guys, that's the story. Also, I do know, and I also want to say before I also want to say this before some of you out there, because I know some of you are going, "Oh no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. There is no that." Shut it. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I do acknowledge that there are several different stories, different details to the stories, and different. This is the story I found the most interesting, and so I decided to share it. But one thing I found out across all other stories was that a lot of things were like the main storyline was the same. The things that were required, the chain, the whatever, and the hen scattering the land and all that were the same, but just some few details here and there, like who exactly was the god that created everything. Was it Orunmila? Was it Obatala? Was it this one, that one? There are different stories which we might discuss in future episodes. I don't know, there's not enough time to discuss all of them in this week's episode. And yeah, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening so far. If you listened up to here, once again, you're a G. Remember to follow us on all platforms. Like this podcast, rate it 5-star out of 5. Kinmokwe, 5-star. If you don't give us a 5-star, don't. What are you doing? Yeah. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at @MafejokpamiPod. Guys, I don't understand. I keep saying this every week, but my followers are not increasing. Are you guys there for something? Hit that follow button now. And also, I wanted to say that next week we are going to be looking at the Igbo creation story. So if you're out there and you know about this stuff, you could hit me up. We could do a collab. I could bring you on the podcast. You tell me a story about it. Tell me and everybody. You just basically lecture everybody, because I should not lie. I'm lazy to. I'm a bit lazy to do this, but I'll do it if nobody gets back to me. And if it's something you're interested in, get back to me by Wednesday, the 6th of July. So that's like in 2 days' time. from when this will be out. And yeah, let's make magic. Also, before I forget, some little gossips. First of all, Burna's track list came out and bruh, fire. I mean, I'm so sad the coffee collab wasn't here. Hopefully it's somewhere in the future, but bro, you see track 8. When track 8, you guys will understand track 8. And also, what else? Also, big up Israel Adesanya on his win. Yeah, that was. Anyhow, I'm sending love your way. You guys should send money my way. Remember, guys, stay jiggy, mind your business, drink water. Most importantly, jaw. Ma fe. Talk by me. Peace.